and saw a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord Will Provide," as it is said to this day, "On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." The Lord will provide. We heard a beautiful song this morning, El Shaddai, glorious proclamation of God, the one who nourishes us. I love that image of God because it's one of the feminine images of God. El Shaddai, God, stick with me for a minute here. God, the breasted one. God who provides nourishment and nurture. El Shaddai. There's another name of God that is used, and you usually hear it proclaimed as Jehovah Jireh. That's the German version of it, of the Hebrew name. Actually, in Hebrew, it's Yahweh Yireh. Yahweh Yireh. Jehovah Jireh. And Yahweh Yireh means, literally, God, the one who is seen, or the one who will be seen, or the one who will be known or comprehended. Ra'ah means to see and to know and to receive and to understand and to comprehend and to have your life changed by that which is seen. The word here, yirah, is based on the word in Hebrew for to see, to comprehend, to receive, and to be changed by that which you see and comprehend and are changed by. It's a nice little circle there. And therefore it is used as an idiom for provide. Yahweh, that's God's personal name, the I am Yahweh who provides you everything you need. Yahweh Yireh, the God, the I am, the one who is and cannot not be, the I am who provides. That was the proclamation about God here. The God who provides. And it's both ironic and a direct proclamation. We're talking about Abraham and Sarah. Abraham and Sarah, an old couple. A couple for whom procreation was impossible. They could not have children of their own physical abilities. They could not have children because of their own age issues. She was barren and they both were too old to have kids. Therefore, for them to have children, as God had promised, for them to have children, as God had declared, for them to have children was impossible. Yet God said, Sarah, you will have a kid. Be just as amazing if God came over here in fact, it would have been more of a miracle because you're not anywhere near Sarah's age, are you? No. But if God were to say, the two of you are going to have a kid. They're shaking their heads. They're waving their hands. No! You've already done that. No more, right? Well, Abraham and Sarah got to be 90 and 100, and they hadn't had a single one. And God promised a miracle. That or a nightmare, one or the other. But a miracle. You two are going to have a kid. And it's not going to be by you farming him out to some young lady either. It's going to be you. They tried that and it didn't work. No. Abraham and Sarah, those two, 90 and 100, you're going to have a kid. And they had Isaac. The child of promise. It's not what his name means. The child of promise. A miracle provision. A miracle child. God provided Yahweh Yireh Isaac. God provided Isaac. A miracle child. And that child grew up, became a young man. And God says, Abraham, take your son, your only son, Isaac, the child of promise, who I promised you in your old age. Take Isaac and go to the land of Moriah, to the mountain I will show you there, and offer him up as a burnt offering to me. I know some dads who'd go, yeah, God, let's go. And you notice, Abraham didn't argue with God here in Genesis chapter 22. It says in verse 3, right after the direction, so Abraham rose early on the next day in the morning. Early. He didn't wait. He didn't dawdle around. He didn't argue with God. He did it. I know some dads who would be, you know, okay, yeah, here we go. I mean, Rich, your son Nathan isn't your only son, is he? But what would you do if God were to say, take him and go sacrifice him on the mountain that I'm going to show you? Be honest now. You'd have to ask a question about it. Abraham did it. Up and went. And there's no indication that Sarah said, now wait a minute. She's not even in the story here. Take your son, your only son, whom I have given you in your old age, and go to the land of Moriah, to the mountain I will show you, and offer him there as a burnt offering. And we gloss over that part. Make a barbecue out of him. Take the wood, build an altar, chop him up like Benihana style meat, and burn him on the altar. Barbecue for God. That's what he told him to do. That's what he told him to do. And Abraham did it. Took his two servants, took a donkey, got some wood, and they went off to the land of Moriah. When they saw the mountain in the distance, Abraham turns to his two servants and says, you two stay here. The boy and I, we're going to go over there. We're going to sacrifice. Now pay attention to these two pronouns. And we will return to you. That pronoun, we, is very important. It says that even though Abraham knew what the order was, go sacrifice your kid, even though Abraham knew what the direction was, even though Abraham knew what he had been told to do, nevertheless, he also knew that this was the child that God had provided, that God had made a wonderful promise about, that through this child, Abraham and Sarah would have children like the stars up in the heavens and the sands by the seashore. Through this child, the child of promise, through this boy, Isaac, would be born many nations and many peoples, so numerous you can't count them. He knew that promise. He'd heard it. He received it. He'd heard and received the miracle promise, and he and Sarah had a son. God fulfilled the promise. So he knew God would fulfill the promise this time. And yet at the same time, he heard God's direction. Go, take your boy and kill him and make an offering of him to me. That which Yahweh had provided, that which Yahweh Yireh had provided, returned to me. And when he said, the boy and I will go over there, we will sacrifice, and then we will return, That pronoun we tells us everything about Abraham's faith. That he trusted God. He trusted God that God would provide. Just as God had provided a miracle child in Isaac himself, so now God would provide the sacrifice. It's an irony. They're on their way up the mountainside. And Isaac says to his father, Abraham, Father, and Abraham's reply is, Here I am, my son. He said, The fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? I mean, you got to think for a minute. I mean, here they are, they're going up the mountain, they're going to do a sacrifice, and there is no sacrificial animal. Oops. This was in a day and age when child sacrifice was not unknown. Oops. Dad, you got the wood and you got the fire. I see that knife in your belt. Where's the offering? And Abraham's answer is truthful. God, God's self, will provide the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. Now, if I had been Isaac, I'd be, well, God provided me. That's what Abraham was thinking. God provided Isaac. God will provide the sacrifice. And God did. He ties the boy up, puts him on the altar, takes the knife, and raises it to slaughter his son. And God cries out, Abraham, Abraham! And Abraham goes, Here I am! Don't kill your son, your only son, whom I have given you. I provided him, and I will provide now. This miracle provision, again, occurred at a special place on the planet Earth. The area, the land of Moriah and Mount Moriah itself, is located in a very special place. It's located in what we now call today the Temple Mount of Jerusalem. It's located at one of the holiest sites in the world, revered by Christians, Jews, and Muslims. It's the site of the temples. It's the site of the Wailing Wall, the Western Retaining Wall of Mount Moriah itself. It's the site of the Dome of the Rock, one of the holiest sites of Islam. It's the site where animals were sacrificed for centuries in the Jewish cultic practices. It's the site where Jesus cleared the temple of the money changers and taught on the steps to the side of the mountain. It's in the center of Jerusalem, one of the holiest places on earth, that God provided a sacrifice for us in Jesus Christ himself. I went to Jerusalem, to Israel, back in 2006. Long before I knew I was going to be coming to be pastor. This was in the fall. I wasn't seated here until just after Easter in 2007. In the fall of 2006, I knew I was going to be moving, though. I just didn't know where. And so I took some slips of paper, which is the tradition for pilgrims to Israel, and I wrote down prayer requests. I collected 30 or 40 prayer requests from my then congregation. A bunch of prayer requests from families and friends. And then I wrote a special prayer request for myself. And what it said was something like this. I pray for the people that God will be giving me to serve as shepherd. I pray for the congregation wherever it may be. I pray for each and every one of them, individually and as a group, that God will grant us grace to serve as witnesses of peace in this world, proclaiming the good news of Jesus to all. And I folded up that little piece of paper and I took it with me to Jerusalem. And when I approached the wailing wall, the prayer wall there, I took out those little slips and I put them in the cracks of the rocks like everybody else does. And I stood and I prayed. Even though I didn't know I was coming to St. Stephen, I stood at the holy site where God provided sacrifices and the sacrifice, Jesus. I stood and I put those little prayer slips in the wall and I prayed, not knowing who you were, I prayed for you. God provides. In our difficult circumstances, when things seem to be going contrary to what we think they ought to be, when things seem to be going contrary to what we believe God has called us to do and be, when things go crazy, the word today is Yahweh Yireh. God provides. We may not be able to see or comprehend the way God will provide. We may not be able to see or comprehend how God will provide what we need. We may not be able to see or comprehend or even understand the glorious miracle that God will work in our living. And it may not be the way we would like, but God provides. God provided Isaac, a child of miracle promise. God provided the sacrifice in today's story. And God will provide for each and every one of us. Christians have read this passage in many different ways over the centuries. One method of reading the Bible in this passage is to do what's called historical criticism, where you understand what the author intended the passage to say. The author or author's intent in writing the story, communicating the story, interpreting the story. That's important. But another instrument, another tool of interpretation, is a pre-critical tool, a tool from prior to the Reformation, called typology. It doesn't pretend to say that this was what the author meant. Instead, it asks the question, what can we, in our specific circumstance, understand and receive from this passage? How can we apply it in our daily living today? And Christians have looked typologically at this passage, and they've seen in Isaac a type of Jesus Christ. Typology is the idea of shadows, where a figure in the Old Testament casts a shadow into the New, or a figure in the New Testament casts a shadow into the Old. And Isaac is seen as a shadow of Jesus in the New. The gift, the promise, miracle, provision, gift of God through Mary, who then, faithfully trusting his father, climbs a mountain and becomes the Lamb for the sins of the world. There is one tradition about this story, about Isaac. When you read on about the end of it, past our reading for today, it depicts Abraham coming down from the mountain and returning to Palestine, and for the rest of the chapter, he's alone. And so there is one theory that Isaac was sacrificed on the mountain. I don't believe it, because he appears immediately after that in the next chapter. But Jesus, the complete master type, was and stood in our place, carrying the wood as Isaac carried the wood up the side of the hill for his own sacrifice. He carried the wood of the cross up the hill. Jesus did for his. And for ours. My friends, God provides. God provided Isaac. God provided the ram, the sacrifice in this story. God provided Jesus. God provided you as a miracle expression of the grace of God to others. And God will provide for you from the very heart of the holy place, holiest place on earth. God will provide miraculously for you. Give thanks and praise that Yahweh is Yireh. God does and is the provider of what we truly need. Not necessarily what we want, but what we need. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of St. Stephen United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2008 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at St. Stephen United Methodist Church, 2520 Oates Drive, Mesquite, Texas, 75150. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.